You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Wednesday, a good Wednesday for the Pelicans as they really start the thick of their schedule here, the three games in a row, but they kick that off with a 115-105 win over the Dallas Mavericks. I'm going to recap this game for you because we saw a lot of good. There's a little bit of bad in there, but this was a predominantly good game and a game the Pelicans absolutely needed to win. We'll recap what happened, who played well, all of that. In the first segment, I want to talk a little bit about the standings because the Pelicans finally got some help in the Western Conference playoff race. So make sure you listen in to find out where the Pelicans are currently and where they might be headed. And do playoffs look likely? Because things have been a little bit sketchy as we've gone on. I'm also going to play another clip from the Adam Silver interview that's going to be on tomorrow's edition of Locked On NBA. And of course, you should listen to today's Locked On NBA, hosted by myself and John Corrales. And then finally, we'll preview the game against the Pacers tonight in the Smoothie King Center, the second game of the back-to-back-to-back. What do the Pelicans need to do to get this victory? And will we maybe see Drew Holiday? So let's dive right on into today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So the Pelicans notched a very much needed 115-105 win over the Dallas Mavericks, a game in which it was announced shortly before tip-off that Drew Holiday would not be playing due to, and I'm putting this in air quotes, scare quotes, whatever you want to call them, illness. Pre-game, Alvin Gentry did say that Drew Holiday had a bad bit of the flu and he was hoping maybe he'd be able to play in the next couple of days. I think most people assume this is for rest. You're looking at this game against the Dallas Mavericks as a very winnable game here. So maybe you can win this without Drew Holiday. And if that's the move the Pelicans were doing, it's very much a gamble because we saw this close at halftime for the Pelicans with them being down a little bit and not kind of seeing what you wanted. They were down by as many as 13 points in the first half. So it shows you that, you know, if that backfires, you've wasted a very winnable game by not playing your guy and hoping to rest him for the future when you just simply need to win the games that are in front of you right now. So, you know, maybe it's an illness. You're not really supposed to just rest players for rest, even though the Pelicans did this with Rajon Rondo on Sunday. But I think they really do believe they could have just won this, and this seems to be the prevailing theory. And then if they lose, they can say, well, he was actually sick, and it's kind of all your I's and T's and all of that kind of covered, CYA, if you know what that means. So the Pelicans did that, and it looked like things might be a little bit rocky again. The first half, the Dallas Mavericks came out shooting. They were on fire, basically not missing anything to start the game, which I think gave all of us Pelicans fans a little bit of concern. But the Pelicans defense started to get right once Cheick Diallo came into the game, and you can't talk about him enough. With the Dallas Mavericks basically not missing anything, the Pelicans had some tired legs. They weren't really feeling it. Diallo steps in with that energy he provides and just kind of lifts the team with this contagious, I don't even know what you call it, hopefully not whatever Drew Holiday has. And the team kind of livened up from that. You saw Anthony Davis kind of just check in a little bit more. God, I hate using that with Diallo. We need to get like eliminate check in from everything. But Davis, who finished with 19 points in the first half, ended up having a very big game because he was trying to match the energy level of Diallo. Diallo on the night had a huge game for him. 24 and a quarter minutes out there. He was 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line. Finished with 10 points and 14 boards. Scored over, you know, 4 Dallas Mavericks at one point late in the fourth when he was out there getting quality minutes. You can see this coaching staff just trusts him more, and they're willing to put him out there. Mecca Okafor only played 5 minutes. Mirotić played 31, so you basically have Diallo being your third big right there, more or less, for this team. You could almost count him as the second. But 24 minutes and the growth that he's shown, playing more under control, not turning the ball over, being that springy guy out there who's willing to run down the court, try and get a lob and score however he can, has definitely been a very nice thing to see from him. Not the best defensively yet, there's still issues there, but overall he's showing a lot of improvement, and he might be key to this Pelicans team going forward as Alvin Gentry looks to expand the rotation and get quality minutes from players right now. Pels played 11 guys last night against the Dallas Mavericks. That's up from the 8 or 9 that they normally play, because you need those minutes right now, because you don't want to rest guys against teams like the Indiana Pacers or the Los Angeles Lakers during this back-to-back-to-back. Maybe against the Mavs, yeah. But you still got to open up that rotation to get guys more minutes to give your players some rest during a game. You know, Anthony Davis was out there until the end of the fourth quarter. He managed to only play 35 minutes. That's really good, all things considered. Davis on the night had a big game, 37 points, was just a terror. He's been doing this really well, especially recently, getting behind defense, using the spin move, and something I might want to write about in the future and just kind of show you. He's on a guy's hip, he spins, and boom, he's diving to the rim just by himself, and that's where you see a lot of these lobs coming from Jrue Holiday or Rajon Rondo. Rondo also almost had a triple-double in this game. He was excellent. This is good Rondo. And again, maybe it's usually you need to take him out of a game for a little bit, put him on the bench or not play him at all, because he responds after that, clearly. In 30 minutes on the night, he finished with 19 points, 14 assists, and one rebound away from a triple-double, finishing with 9. He was everywhere. Wasn't great defensively. You can see 2 or 3 plays, particularly in the second half, where he just gave up on a defensive assignment and let the Mavericks score. And in a then tight game, that can be a little bit rough. But he's out there giving you quality minutes needed in the absence of Jrue Holiday. Off the bench, Ian Clark continues his great run of play. 19 points off the bench for the Pels, 4 assists. Does it with only 3 three-point shot attempts, only making one of them. This guy's in between, kind of mid-range game, not quite at the rim, but not to the three-point line, has been key for the Pelicans, and you're seeing him play with a lot of confidence right now. There's one point in the second half, he got the ball, drove, and pulled up and shot a mid-range jumper early in the shot clock. That early offense with the pace we've talked about, but you normally don't necessarily really want to be taking a mid-range jumper like that, particularly when you haven't worked the ball around. You want to get three-point shots or shots at the rim, or when you have a mismatch, which wasn't the case there. But he still shot it, and he made it. That was big. There was a play in the first half as well where he caught the ball on the perimeter, didn't take a contested three-pointer, and then just decided to attack and drive and created something out of that, which led to an assist from him. He is playing outstanding right now and has become a very big weapon for this Pelicans team. Overall, the Pelicans kind of did what they wanted to do. They dictated the pace against the very slower Dallas Mavericks, finished with 21 fast break points, and kept control of the ball. Just 9 turnovers for the team. They were able to kind of just clamp down on defense, start hitting their shots, and the game swung in their favor fairly dramatically and pretty quickly. And they managed to close it out because they managed the minutes right. They weren't that tired in the fourth quarter, and they managed to win that final frame 35-25, exactly what they needed to get that 10-point victory over the Dallas Mavericks. Other quick note here, Solomon Hill got the start for the Pelicans. They started Rondo more than Hill, than Davis and Okafor. Up from his 8 minutes played in the previous game to 11, scored just 2 points, but he hit his first field goal of the season, scored his first points of the season. It just took, however many games it was. I don't even know what they're at right now. A lot, basically. 71, is that right? That sounds about right. So that was really nice to see. You can see he can potentially provide some very serious help on the wing. The Pelicans early on were getting beat by Harrison Barnes at that wing, small forward position. They needed some help there. They managed to get it. Barnes wasn't able to blow by Solomon Hill as easily as it was Darius Miller, who doesn't really have the lateral quickness that Hill does have, even as he still recovers and isn't quite in game shape. So nice to see the minutes increase. Nice to see him get the start. And you can see maybe, and don't, you know, count on it to be a huge defensive stopper. He wasn't doing that. But if you can slow down people just a little bit at times, that gives the Pelicans a much needed breather. Don't forget, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, where I co-host every Wednesday, recapping the action around the association from the night before. oh man, I get to talk about the Nuggets losing and some of these other teams losing, and this is a lot of fun, the Clippers losing. It's really nice, particularly when the Pelicans get some help, so I get excited about that. And it lets me put the Pelicans in the national spotlight a little bit more, so make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA. So I said in the open, the Pelicans actually got some help in the Western Conference playoff race, and that was really needed because basically it's been nobody loses out there, and it's making it difficult for the Pelicans to even feel comfortable about a playoff spot. But maybe, just maybe, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, that's starting to change a little bit. So OKC lost by a point to Boston last night. Minnesota killed the Los Angeles Clippers 123-109. The New Orleans Pelicans took care of business. We knew that. And then the Atlanta Hawks actually upset the Utah Jazz 99-94. And as I'm recording this, it's late. The game between Houston and Portland's going on, but that doesn't really matter. I think we're looking at Portland as being the 3 or 4 seed, and they're in basically no matter what and almost a lock there. But those other losses do flip the standings a little bit, and they do a lot here when you factor in that Denver has not been playing well whatsoever. They've actually lost 4 straight road games, and they have a big one kind of coming up tonight against the Chicago Bulls, with the way they've played on the road is not necessarily an easy game, even though it really should be. So this loss shakes up the standings a little bit. It puts New Orleans in the 5th spot. So right now you've got Houston basically locked into 1, Golden State locked in for 2, and then it's going to be Portland, OKC, or likely Utah with their easy schedule coming up for that 3 and 4 spot. But say it's Portland at 3 right now, I think that's safe. OKC losing puts them at 4, only a game ahead of the Pelicans, who are in 5 with a record of 41-30. By the way, they're guaranteed a non-losing record this season. Only the 7th time that's happened in franchise history, so about half the time they have a winning record or a 500 record or better. In 6 is San Antonio, tied with the Pelicans at 41-30. However, the Pelicans right now have the tiebreaker ahead of them, though they play on the final game of the regular season. That game looms very, very large. Minnesota's them back at the 7th spot. They are 1.5 games back of the New Orleans Pelicans with a record of 41-31 right there. They're only half a game back of the Pelicans. That makes no sense. So they're only half a game back of the 7th spot the Pelicans are. And then the Utah Jazz fall to 8, where the Pelicans are ahead of them by 1 game. So they're in the playoffs right now. You've got to look at Denver and the Clippers, the Nuggets and the Clippers, which is where things start to get dicey. Right now, New Orleans is ahead of Denver for that kind of final playoff spot, let's call it, by 2.5 games. Denver is actually 2 games behind Utah for the 8th spot, so it puts the Pelicans up a little bit. They've got some breathing room right there. So I guess it's 3 games up really on them. The Clippers, with their most recent loss, which is just brutal for them and they need to avoid another one, puts them there now in the 10th spot at 37-33, where the Pelicans are 3.5 games up on them. So there's some breathing room to the tune of 3 games, but that can swing very easily and not in the Pelicans' favor if you lose just 2 games in a row. So the Pels need to be very careful, but it looks like the West might be starting to separate itself some if you're looking at a team just getting into the playoffs, which right now is, I think, not the best case scenario, but the best realistic scenario for the Pels. Just get in. You know, I know you can look at seeding and try and figure out who they're going to play, and ideally, I think most people want the Pelicans to take on Portland. You'd like to maybe get in that 6th spot if Portland's the 3rd, or into that 5th spot if Portland's the 4th. That's the team they're going to maybe have the best chance of beating, along with Oklahoma City. You want to avoid Houston or Golden State as much as possible. Let's worry about that after the next 5 games or so, when it looks like the Pels are going to be a lock for the playoffs. But that's kind of what my feeling is right now. If you can get these next 2, and they're going to be tough games. The Pacers are not easy, and that Lakers game might be the toughest out of all of them secretly. You know, they look very good in that case. You've gotten past some of the harder part here. You've gotten past the situation where there's no rest. That's going to be an important thing. So let's see what the Pelicans can do with that, because there's a very good chance they're going to be able to set themselves up for the playoffs very nicely very soon. So I'm not going to play any clips for it today, though, I thought about playing one where Adam Silver talks about the future and kind of the way people consume content, because that's a topic I think is pretty interesting. Twitter's obviously a huge avenue for the NBA, phones and mobile use as well. He touches on that in the interview that's on Locked On NBA tomorrow, so make sure you listen to that whole thing. It's really, really interesting. And if you care about the NBA with topics as far ranging as, will they move a team to Mexico? Does that become a viable option? How do you kind of look at the people in the younger generation who's coming to the forefront and how they like to consume media, as well as talking about things like diversity and letting the players speak out about issues, I think is a really great thing to hear. And that's a bit in the news when the Ole Miss head coach comes out and says something very, very tone deaf that we don't need to get into, at least today. Maybe I'll scream and yell about that maybe on tomorrow's podcast or later in the week, because it was pretty bad. So it's interesting to hear the wide-ranging interview that Adam Silver has on the Locked On NBA podcast, available tomorrow. So the Pelicans back-to-back-to-back continues tonight with the middle game in this three-game set against the Indiana Pacers, the surprising Indiana Pacers, with a record of 41-30. They are fourth in the NBA's Eastern Conference, and head coach Nate McMillan, father of Pelicans assistant coach Jamal McMillan, is really in the running for coach of the year. They've also got potentially the most improved player of the year, likely to be the case, in Victor Oladipo. And this Pacers team's been really surprising in how they've played. The Pelicans actually beat Indiana early on in the year, a game the Pelicans had to come back from and really win in the third and fourth quarters after being down by double digits. That was a bit of a different Pelicans team. Of course, they had DeMarcus Cousins there. And that game, what made them struggle was the Pacers dictated the pace of the game. They played slow, much slower than the Pelicans play now. The Pacers, while not the slowest team in the league, are in the bottom 10 and don't want to get into a fast shootout like the Pelicans want to do. Right now, you can see the Pelicans are tired. They're sluggish. That means they're going to struggle in half-court sets. You can see those legs catching up to them. You don't have the same type of off-ball movement. You don't necessarily have the same zip on your passes, the same type of cuts to the rim that you can get in those half-court sets. So you've got to get early offense when you have mismatches in transition, those shots early on in the first 8 seconds or so of the shot clock, when you can just take advantage of those opportunities. That's going to be big for the Pelicans. Jrue Holiday, we don't have an update on if he's going to play or not. If he does play, I think it's very clear that last night's absence was just due to rest, not illness. That's fine. Who cares either way? The Pelicans are going to try and win this game. They're not going to punt on any of these next two coming up. And we'll preview the Lakers game tomorrow, but that might be the toughest one for a number of reasons, and I'll tell you why then. So let's just assume Holiday plays, or if he doesn't, the Pelicans still need to go with that expanded rotation that we talked about in the first segment. You know, you've got to play 10, 11, maybe even 12 guys to continue to get some rest. Even in close games, if you can keep Anthony Davis at 35 minutes, meaning you're getting quality minutes when he's on the bench, that's going to be huge going forward for this team, because you're going to be exhausted come Thursday, and that Lakers team is going to try and run, and you don't know if you can keep up with that on the defensive side on the ball. The Pacers actually have a top 10 offense, but they do a lot of what the Pelicans want their opponents to do. They're not going to take a lot of threes. They're 25th in the league in threes per game, but they shoot very well, and they're going to take a ton of shots at the rim and try and pound the ball in there and take advantage of, once that defense is a little bit softer, it opens up the mid-range game for them. That's what they like to do. They also do not turn the ball over basically at all, so you're going to have trouble trying to end possessions unless you defensive rebound, and they're not a great offensive rebounding team. They're right around the middle of the pack, but you've got to end their possessions, whether it's forcing a missed shot and getting it most likely, and then trying to run in transition, because again, they don't turn the ball over. Victor Oladipo, again, most improved player of the year, most likely, averaging 23.3 points per game. Bojan Bogdanovic on the wing position can be trouble for the Pels. He's averaging 14 points per game. You're going to need to see Solomon Hill right in there, getting up in his face and trying to prevent kind of that one-on-one isolation ball. If you're stout defensively, you win this game. I think that's really how it's going to come down to. The Pelicans are going to get enough offense. offense. You know, as long as they're not tired and they've done a good job of managing minutes so far on the back-to-back-to-back, that's going to be really weird to keep saying in the future. I think you can see a good victory tonight. You got to be smart about it. Hopefully no more injuries to Anthony Davis, who I forgot to mention it early on, did leave the game for a moment with a kind, maybe a bruised shin. I think he's going to be playing. I've been asked about that. I don't really anticipate any issues there. But this is a very winnable game. And again, dictate pace, play your style, because it's kind of contrasting to what the Pacers want to do. Get a win, get the Lakers win, and I think you've made the most of this five-game homestand. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. Of course, tomorrow we'll recap the game, preview the game against the Lakers, and let's talk Cheick Diallo tomorrow. He was fun. 10 points, 14 boards. What's going on there? What's been the difference? And the energy he brings, how important is that to this Pelicans team? We'll talk about that and anything else that comes up in the recap. So enjoy the game. Hopefully you're not as tired as the Pelicans are, or I am, and the rest of the media covering this, because this is a brutal stretch for us as well. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.